You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Today, I have Winnie Liu, founder and creative director of A Cut Above in the studios. Hairstyling used to be a job where school leavers go to, Winnie, that, you know, if you don't have much of a future, yeah, you learn to go and cut hair. Yeah,
you've changed
all that. And, you know, you've now been nominated Woman Entrepreneur of the Year. Of course, this is another award to put on your shelf at home. I'm sure you have like a room full of awards by now. But tell us a little bit about Winnie Liu, how she started and how she's come up to what she is today.
Well, I guess a lot of people have heard my story about how I get started and to be where I am.
Yeah, but now, I mean, it's different. You know, you were training under Vidal Sassoon, one of the people, and then now you're being compared to him. That's really something.
Okay, to cut it short, I think it's a destiny. And I believe when you dare to dream, you don't just sit on it. You work your dreams out. And I think it started calling when I was about 14. I realized that it's something I love. And somehow, I just keep working on it. And even though when I went to, I actually took about 18 months commercial, like a secretarial and a business course at the Stanford. And even after that, I still think that I want to do hair. So I follow my heart and I went to London, joined some of the best schools in the world then. I was like with Morris, with Alan, with Vidal Sassoon. And I even have a diploma in colouring in the L'Oreal then. So somehow then, armed with a lot of capability, I felt I have to come back to Malaysia. Actually, I have quite a lot of job opportunity there. And even my last job with a Greek boss, he keeps saying that, Winnie, you don't even have to go back to Malaysia. In London, I'm sure you find great jobs some days.
So why was it important to come back to Malaysia?
I really think it was important because I promised my dad if I were to do hairdressing, I want to be the best one day. I mean, of course, then I was only 20. It's like one day when, you know. But if I don't come back to Malaysia, I may be graded as a Malaysian abroad, let's say. Mm-hmm. Until today, let's say a Malaysian abroad. But there are many people who work abroad, but they may be aware and may make some fame along the way. But if they don't, they'll just be one other person away. But for me, I felt that there was a calling. I have to come back to this country. And actually, I went back, I mean, it was in 77, but I did not come back to Malaysia first. I went to Singapore. I worked in Singapore for about 8 months, and I thought Malaysia is just quite near. And my mom said, well, try elsewhere. I mean, especially my dad. Actually, my mom was upset. When I came back, I didn't take my first job in KL or Malaysia. I went to Singapore, tried it, and I realized that I may be in Singapore. I'm still very far away. When I need to see my mom, because I miss her a lot. And we took too long to come back. Malaysia then was not as accessible.
But there was, I mean, it sounds like your family were fairly supportive, but wasn't there any of this, the usual thing, you Ipoh Mali.
No,
you
wasn't know, so you, supportive. You, actually, to begin
iron
with,
Iron Foundry
my dad,
business is there.
Why? My dad was not so supportive to begin with.
Right.
Because they think that, okay, we're in a family of business. It's either you take up accountancy or, well, at least take up some business skills. And that's why initially I took up in Stanford. But even my brothers, initially it's like, hairdressing, you must be joking. This is our family, you know, it comes from a business cycle, a circle of people that do not expect the next of kin to do things like that. And especially hairdressing is like, why do you want to stand behind someone when you can stand in front of someone and tell them what to do?
Well, you explained that later on, isn't it? It's a little bit about control. It's like,
yeah,
you were quoted in an interview by saying it doesn't matter who you are, once you sit in the chair.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm standing there.
Yeah. 10 minutes, you're in control, right? You can't, I mean, I don't
10 minutes, is that all you need to
No, what I mean is at least for 10 minutes you are in control, right. Then only they start to move around because they will have to bend down their head, do this, do that, you know.
Well, let's come back to this. Now, you were known to be a bit of a risk taker, so you obviously, very bravely, you went out, you set up your first salon. Wisma MPI at that time, was that like the place to be?
As an office area, you know, that whole place then was quite a place, because it's so funny that when people say, why MPI?
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly, then some of the leading hairstylists were even there. And I personally felt sometimes when you have a skill, they will come to you. And surprisingly, there were not many shopping malls. I did ask around and say, hey, you want me to open in Sungai Wang or you want this and that? And somehow, it was that location.
Well, that proved to be the right thing. And, you know, you've moved on from there.
Bouncer. Yeah, then only we moved into malls.
Yeah. So now you're in malls. Well, your latest is in Pavilion.
Yes.
Well, how do you choose locations? Because someone told me, a little bird told me, that you're also quite a real estate person. You know, it's like the one side is the creative Winnie Lou and the other side is the one that keeps her eye on the property market.
I think locations, I always feel is important in the business, because after a while, initially you just think that, okay, it's skills, people come all the way for you because there I only have one. But as you start to grow, you cannot just think that, okay, you just have one salon, and we have more locations to come, and we feel that convenience becomes part of the important choice. And okay, if you're talking about, okay, Wan Yu is a great place, and then they say, why are you not here? We did actually, but somehow maybe that feeling. But we do have quick salon, we call it the Express Group, which is just down the road, where we cut hair without frills. So that group actually has grown, and then we're just at the Mutiara. So, but for salon wise, we are in Bangsar, we're in Village, we're in Mid Valley and Sunway and Pavilion. So we like to be in some of the top-notch malls where people, even if they are not our regular, will just pop in and say, hey, I think I like the location of this salon.
Or, yes, well, you, because you set up your salons, I mean, you look, and if you didn't see, you know, the list of what being offered, you could quite easily be deceived into thinking, oh, I'm walking to one of these high-end boutiques and things. You really do up your salons.
Yeah. The way we do up our salon is we want to believe that we are already a designer brand.
Right.
At an affordable price. You don't have to fly to New York. You don't have to fly to London just to have a designer haircut at a Malaysian pricing.
Are all the salons doing well? Do you get the same kind of traffic? I mean, you talk about walk-in traffic as well, but are there particular outlets which have their regulars, like Bangsar, for instance?
Yeah, all your regulars? Been in Bangsar since 1990. So it's been such a long time. So we have built a lot of regulars. The people who makes a lot of noise in the hoo-ha circle is in the Bangsar group. So we felt that there was an opportunity last, I think 3 years ago, at the Bangsar Village. So we also started a salon at the Bangsar Village because we feel that we could not grow then at the Bangsar shopping center. Mm-hmm. So we decided that, okay, let's have another salon at the Bangsar Village. But we'll be much bigger next year at the Bangsar shopping center when they are ready.
You're going to take over that whole new, all the available space.
Dream to do a fashion row, you know.
Yeah.
But we're doing a
Because you're running out bigger. Of you were running out of space in where you are in
Melbourne. We're really running out of space 7 years ago already.
Right. So we'll see a bigger, better...
Very lifestyle salon.
Okay, so that will include all the other services, because cut above, isn't talking about the salon, but what's really being offered is a whole range of services, a top-to-toe kind of thing, isn't it?
I think we were the first salon to do a lot of first things. When I first started in reflexology, as early back in the early 90s, people say, reflexology, who's going to beautify your hair with pain? You know, because reflexology is something to treat your senses, but it's a painful process, but it's fantastic. It's worked out really well. And I think a lot of salons are already following us to do it. And then we introduce, of course, with that, we have the nails and the spa and the makeup.
Yeah,
the eyelash extensions. We even have things like shoulder and the neck massage, especially now we have package like spa deals at the pavilions. So we have actually revolutionized hairdressing.
BFM 89.9, the business station.